things from a distance. And it's a song that has this very catchy refrain in it. And the refrain is, and you'll be glad I'm not going to sing it for you, but it's simply, God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance. And it's a lovely song. And it actually makes some very challenging observations about the world in which we live, if you have a chance to maybe Google it and have a look at the lyrics. Some of the things it says are very challenging. It's a lovely song, but it's fairly awful theology. The Bible is clear that God is watching us, but never from a distance. Never set away from us. The Bible is very clear that God is along with us. So when Jesus was born, one of the names given to Jesus, that lovely name of Emmanuel, which is simply not God at a distance, but God with us. But there are still many people who have this mentality, this thinking that, okay, I believe in God, but there's a God who's away out there somewhere, who sits on a cloud and plays a harp or whatever a God like that does. But he's remote. He's uninvolved. He's distant. And a lot of people still think that way. That God watches us from a distance. The beginning of the book of Hebrews, there's this lovely verse that simply says, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. This is not a God who keeps himself distant. This is a God who spoke into the lives of his people lots of different ways through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. This Jesus, God with us, who comes into the world to remind us and to demonstrate and to be the very presence of God right beside us. Not at a distance. The passage which Mary read from us from Ephesians chapter 2 highlights two things that are important for us when we start to consider all of this. One is that if there is any distance between us and God, we have created that distance. If God is removed from us in any way, it's because, not because God has distanced himself, it is because we have kept our distance from God. Our own sinfulness puts this distance between us and the very holiness of God. So the passage highlights that. We have put ourselves at a distance from God. But the passage also highlights the fact that Jesus has died so that we can be brought close to God. Jesus has died to put right that distance between us and this holy and loving God. And so verse 12 of this little passage in Ephesians chapter 2 simply says, remember that at one time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise. And all this meant you were without hope and without God in the world. Now, all this is very descriptive of being at a distance. There's no sense of being a part of anything. There's no sense of belonging to something. There's no sense of security or hope for the future because we're kept at this distance. At one time, that's what you were like. Excluded, separate, foreigners. Thankfully, the Bible does not leave it that way. Thankfully, the Bible does not finish by saying what we used to be. Verse 13 picks it up and simply says, at one time that's what you were like, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. This is an amazing thing. This is God who is so holy that he cannot have sin in his presence, and so we are excluded, We are separate. We're kept at a distance. But God gives his one and only Son so that we can be brought close. Not at a distance anymore. There's a wonderful difference between verse 12, which is being separated from Christ, and then verse 13 to being in Christ. It's just literally a world of difference. Being separated, alienated, and being in. And that's what the death of Jesus Christ has done for us. Being brought near. But we're not only brought near to God through faith in this crucified Christ. We're also brought near to each other. Brought close to each other. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus concerning the Jews and the Gentiles who were separated by barriers and walls, literally so in the temple area. In the temple area, there was a wall that Gentiles, non-Jews, couldn't get past that. So there were literal walls and barriers in place to separate these people. Interesting how, in many ways, some things never change. We still live in a society where we easily separate from each other and we build barriers and we build walls. Sometimes those walls are made out of concrete blocks, but more often they're made out of mistrust, suspicion, hatred, and we build barriers. So it's good for us who live in a divided society to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, to hear the Bible simply say, Jesus himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Very often when we look at our world, we create all these divisions. We talk about north and south, east and west, rich and poor, management and workers. We create all sorts of divisions, all sorts of barriers are put in place. When the Bible actually looks at us, the Bible only sees one division, and that's between those who are in Christ and those who are not, those who are still separate from. And Jesus rips away that dividing wall. So we find our oneness. We find our unity. We find our confidence for the future in Jesus Christ, who by his very death created the way for us to be brought close to God, reconciled through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. As we gather for the Lord's Supper, we remember the death of Jesus. And it's the death of Jesus that brings us close to our Heavenly Father. It's the very death of Jesus that creates the opportunity for our divided society to come together in him and to know true unity, true oneness. So consequently, because of the death of Jesus, we are no longer foreigners and aliens. You're no longer at a distance because of Jesus, but rather fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household. That's an astonishing thing. Because of Jesus, you can be a member of God's household, built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. And as we gather, we remember that, but we remember too that the grave did not have the final word. We remember, too, that this Jesus who died rose again victorious. We remember that this Jesus who died and rose again will one day come back to gather God's household in. The last verse of this passage is a challenge for all of us. It simply says, in him, in Jesus, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That's us. A dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Not the bricks and mortar. You and I. A dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And so whether we're here on a Sunday morning, whether we're scattered throughout this community for the rest of the week, God lives in us by his Spirit. The oneness that he gives us in Jesus should be evident wherever we are, whoever we're with. The Jesus who brings down those barriers so that we can be one in him. Not at a distance, but close by. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, forgive us that sometimes we can live and behave as though you are at a distance. And so remind us that wherever we go, we are in your presence, the presence of the Holy God. Remind us of the privilege that that is. And work in us by your Holy Spirit so that we may be a fit dwelling for you as you live in us by your Holy Spirit. And this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.